Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that Banana Anderson.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Hot dang. It's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers,
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie,
Susie going toe to Tobin,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
the incredible edible Matthews sisters,
give them hell Miss Noel,
and Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens.
Happens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is just my favorite work husband of all time. It's Ronnie Karam, who can also be found on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast, which is coming back in January. Hey Ronnie, what's going on?
Happy birthday, my little biatch.
Thank you so much,
happy
Ronnie.
Happy 40th birthday. So old. You're almost old enough to make out with Harry Dubin in a bar.
Whoa. Scandal. Yeah, I guess that happened. That was like a really lovely 40th birthday gift, is to wake up to photos of Ramona sucking face with Harry Dubin.
I know. It was quite a morning. I woke up to Brandy Glanville posting on Twitter that she said, suicide, shocker. And I was like, oh my God, this Pete Davidson kid. Please say no.
Oh.
And he didn't. He was just like, everybody on Twitter, stop trying to make me kill myself. Like, he made some Instagram posts because people are bullying him after the Ariana Grande thing, which, by the way, I'm too old to even understand, okay? I don't even know what anybody's talking about.
Yeah.
And so that I was like, please don't be dead. And then so I looked at it, and it was just like a clickbait title where he was threatening. And then I was like, oh, my God, finally I can get out of bed and not cry. And then it's Ramona making out with Harry Dubin on TMZ. Yeah. And I was like, you know what, world? Like, do you want me to get out of bed? This is Ben's birthday. Can we stop torturing the world for one day?
Yeah, Pete Davidson explicitly said he's going to commit suicide if you bully him any further. So why would Ramona go and suck face on with Harry Dubin in that, like, disgusting, like, my lips are over your lips way? Save Pete Davidson. This is not going to help him.
Yeah, no, it's not helping. It's not helping anything, okay? Yeah. People in Paris were like, hey, maybe we should stop riding today. And then they saw that, and they just started overturning cars again. Yeah, okay, Ramona, just stop.
Yeah, they were like, rom, 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 bonjour, croissant. And they just, like, flipped over a car and then went on strike.
Oh, God, you know, it's terrible news of the day. Jesus.
Terrible, terrible news. You know, that's – and you know what? Like, I am not going to co-sign Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. I won't. I'm sorry. And you know what? If that means that we take on the haters – that have been plaguing Pete Davidson, so be it. But I will not co-sign it, because to me it just sounds like this, you know?
Yeah, my friend Trisha says she sings like she's got an orange in her mouth. And I think that that's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. She's like, hang in there, thank you, Matt. I was like, are you singing underwater? You know, like when you're trying to play games underwater, like, can you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
she literally sounds like she's doing variations on the word banana. A banana, 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 a banana, banana, thank you, banana. Like, what?
But I mean, I know I'm not in her target demographic and everything, being a 45-year-old queen, but she lost me when she licked the cupcakes and called people fat. Oh, I was like, you know what, you can go fuck yourself, okay?
So, you guys, now that I'm 40, I've decided to put on big boy headphones. I have always recorded this show using little Apple-like earbuds, and it has created a little echo on Ronnie's voice because his audio comes through my earbuds and into the microphone, so hopefully you will no longer be hearing that. But more importantly, now that I have put on, like, proper headphones, every time I do this, I can now hear it, and I will no longer be plaguing Ronnie and the audience with little thumping noises throughout the show. So, you guys, I apologize for 7 years of this noise. And hopefully now that will be remedied. So that's my gift back to the podcast.
Oh, babe. Well, thanks for the finger-tapping hug.
But we actually have some stuff that's really important to the Crappens universe, the Crappiverse. Okay, so here's the Crappiverse news. Our pre-sale for our Irvine show is on pre-sale. So that's available to Patreon members only at the moment. So sign up on Patreon. It's for all the Patreon members. So whether you're a bonus episode person or super premium, it's democratically Patreon! So go do that. Buy tickets to our OC show. We're going to have a blast. It's just going to be great. And then, obviously, we have Dallas tickets that are going on sale on Thursday. You have to go. We added a second show because everyone was like, add a second show, add a second show. Well, now there's a second show that's been added. The first show sold out in like 2 days. So make sure you are ready, 10 a.m. Central Texas time, for those. And the third thing, this was just announced today. We are going to be in Just for Laughs Northwest. That's like the comedy festival. It's in Vancouver. So guess what, Vancouver peeps? I'm looking at you, Greenwood. We are coming to your city in February, February 22nd. It's going to be amazing. If anyone heard all the stories about what it was like when we went to Just for Laughs in Montreal over the summer, then you should be highly motivated to come join, because we had an exceptional time and we're ready to do it all over again in Vancouver. So,
oh my God, that is going to be just amazing. Yeah. Canada is so sweet to us. And, you know, they have fries with shit on top of them. So, yeah. Poutine, we're coming for you.
I'm not sure that they have poutine in Vancouver. Our Vancouver friends can. It may be more of a French-Canadian thing, not a British-Canadian thing.
Oh, for Christ. Oh, it's the Brits. Well, maybe we can get some Yorkie puddings. You know, I love a popover, no matter what you call it.
Well, hopefully our Vancouver friends can educate us on what the local food is. But you guys, for real, it's going to be at the Biltmore Cabaret, and that's on February 22nd. And those tickets are on sale today. There's a pre-sale today. If you want to get those tickets, the pre-sale password is Vancouver. And then they go on public sale on Friday. And that's at, you have to go to jflnorthwest.com for that. I'll add that to our website after this podcast, because I was a dumbass and didn't add it before. So just jflnorthwest.com, and the link will be on our site very shortly.
Whoa, I see our name. It's Watch What Crappens. I'm looking at it right now.
Who else is going to be performing? I want to see.
Gabriel Iglesias, Howie Mandel, Aziz Ansari, Whitney Cummings, Michelle Wolf, Ken Young, Gabriel Iglesias. I already said his name.
Nicole Byer, Fortune Feimster. Todd Glass. These are like big names, guys. Big names. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. So many people. We're going to meet so many people. I'm going to get so many boyfriends. Our logo looks so cute here. I'm so excited. It's I can't believe we're coming to this thing. This time we're not in a hotel room. We're in a actual cabaret theater. The Crappens Biltmore. I'm calling it the Crappens Biltmore. It's the Biltmore Cabaret Theater. So that is going to be just amazing.
We're excited, especially because since Vancouver is closer to a bunch of others, like Seattle, etc., we're hoping that we can get a whole bunch of Crappens fans up there. Even though we were just in Seattle, but like this will be super fun. And again, like, damn, we had so much fun at that Montreal. And you guys, there's just gonna be so many memories.
So many memories. So go ahead, Ben. Tell everybody else what else you got to tell them. Get it off your chest.
What else? Is there anything? Was there something else going to be on my chest? I don't remember.
You wanted. Vanderpump Rules came back.
Yeah, I mean, we're so busy talking about promoting ourselves. But let's get back to Bravo, which is that last night was the season premiere of Vanderpump Rules. We're going to recap it Thursday in Nashville. But we don't want to like let people. We don't want people to feel like you're just not going to talk about Vanderpump Rules. So I just want to like talk about the general vibe, which is it was so nice to have it back on TV. It was like having Vanderpump Rules back is like it's like a warm hug from Hades, you know?
A warm hug from hell. Yeah, I did not watch this show because I'm waiting for it to be It has to be fresh in my mind to do a live show. You know, yeah. If I take notes too far in advance, I forget what the hell I'm talking about. So I was going to save it for the plane. Well, I did save it for the plane. And then look who went and cheated and watched it on his own. Ben.
I know. Well, I decided, well, as I was telling you right before the show began, I was like, should I take the notes now? But I'll forget. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck the notes. Ben, it's your birthday in full Stassi voice. Just watch the show and enjoy it the way the rest of the Crappens world does. The rest, you know, let's just enjoy it. This is like one of your favorite shows. You don't have to take, just, you'll watch it again later this week. You'll take notes. So that's what I did. And it was like a very liberating experience to say, you know what? First and foremost, I am a fan and I'm going to watch this as a fan right now, not as a podcaster. And it was so glorious to watch it again. Although I will say this is going to be an interesting season. There's like, the vibe was like a little different on the show. And I wonder if other people felt the same way. Like there's like a little bit of a convivial vibe going on. And it was like all about Jax getting ready to propose to Brittany. And it's like new Jax. And everyone's like, wow, Jax he's really changed. And if he had proposed to Brittany a year ago, it would have been like, absolutely not. But now he's really changed. And I'm like, Jax has not changed.
Are we really... You know what? They better be just building that up to tear him down, because he's still terrible. And you know how I know? Because I have a good friend named Sasal Medea who tells me every day how terrible that motherfucker is. So whatever Vanderpump Rules, you better just be building him up to rip his ass down. How dare you?
I think we're going to have two seasons of like rebuilding. Like in sports, they call that, like when you have like a really, really good season and then you start having shitty seasons, they call them rebuilding seasons, because you're not going to worry about getting those wins. You're going to worry about cultivating new talent. So this is the equivalent. We're going to have some Jax rebuilding seasons where he's going to act really good. And then you have classic Jax season where you remember, oh no, he's shit. Because if he's an asshole every single season, it ruins some of the fun of when he's like sweet Jax, fun Jax, and then he's an asshole and we all remember and get out our pitchforks, you know?
Well, so I mean, it's season 7, they haven't had a season where he hasn't been a prick yet, so.
No, but he was always...
I don't know that he'll be able to do it, you know?
But like season 4 and 5, he was like, he's always like generally a prick, but he has sort of like lovable oaf going on for him. And then like season 6, it's like, oh wait, no, why are we giving him lovable oaf? No, he's terrible. He's a terrible person.
Yeah. This season seems like it's going to be a different vibe just from looking at Sasal, because, you know, everyone's like in love, like Stassi's in love. She's found the love of her life, Bo.
Yeah.
And he seems legit.
He seems totally cool
to me. I haven't watched it yet, but on social, he seems cool. And then Kristen's still with her, you know, guy, but Kristen, you remember at the beginning of the season, we thought that Kristen was going to be a friend of. Mm-hmm. Which she kind of has been anyway. So I think Kristen saw that and got worried. So hopefully she'll, you know, try to murder somebody or something this year.
Yeah. I think my main concern from the premiere was that there was a distinct lack of clicky bitchery. You know, I mean, they've all decided they hate James now. James is on the outs. But they're all, like, it's almost like a unified front against James. But, like, I like seeing Lady Turf Wars on Vanderpump Rules, and I'm not getting a huge amount of that so far on the first episode. But the good news is, it's still, you know, it's still such a good show. I love it, you know?
Well, I can't wait to watch it and talk about it. We will see you on Thursday, Nashville.
Yeah, can't wait to dive into that. But for right now, we still have, like, some major stuff to tend to, a.k.a. part 2 of the Orange County reunion.
Yes, so here we are with reunion number 2 of Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah, it opens with sort of a note that I would not have expected, which was basically Shannon playing with her boobs, like, look at, David, they're so weird. Look at these, one's up, now one's down.
Want some pointers? Because my boobs got a couple going in different directions.
And can I control, like, my boobs?
Okay.
No.
And he's like, plenty of time to play with your boobs, okay? Andy's just over it at this point. I don't know if they had Andy just doing every reunion from the past couple of months in the same day or the same couple of days. But Andy, I can smell the vu-clicker. un-Andy from here. Like, just kind of that champagne rot and then, you know, medical marijuana smell. You know that old champagne? Like, when you leave a bottle open or you spill some on your shirt and you smell it the next day.
Yeah. Well, you know at the end of the Shaw's reunion this season, how he, like, sank in his chair? Did you see that when he did that?
Yeah.
I feel like he's just counting down the minutes before he can do that in his chair right now. Yeah, like, he cannot wait to slide his butt all the way to the edge and just be like, oh, guys.
Oh. Yeah, poor guy. You know, that guy should get battle pay.
Yeah.
So Andy's like, so we took a break and I feel like there's more dissension with you and Vicky. Kelly, want to speak on that? And then we see the clip of cocaine. Oh, cocaine. Oh,
I don't kill Oak. You're a dwarf.
I don't do cocaine. I do not do drugs. I'm a mother. Gulp champagne.
Yeah. So Kelly's like, I called Michael. And he said he never said those things. He never said
really?
Them.
Oh, really? You think Michael's going to tell you the truth? You really? You think he's going to do that?
Yeah.
You're a liar. I'm not a liar. How dare you?
She lies. She lies, you little bitch.
I have a daughter, you twerp.
Yeah. So then, you know, and then talk about the coke allegations, and Vicky's like, well, I mean, I don't blame her for being hurt. I mean, and for that, I'm sorry. You know, that was a rumor that came around, and I should not have repeated the rumor. It's like, Vicky, how many times do you have to say that phrase every single year?
And then Tamara's like, haven't you learned anything, bitch? Because Tamara, you know, the moral center of the show. And exactly. Then Shannon tries to jump in because for whatever reason, you know, we can say whatever we want about these people, but Shannon does scream at people and she does act like a jackass, but then she sticks by them, you know?
Right.
She really didn't dump Vicky until Vicky screamed and yelled at her about Brooks.
That's true.
And she's still sticking next to Vicky even after Vicky just did that. So Shannon jumps in and she's like, oh, well, but Kelly, let's not forget that to tweet that she's a pig on social media.
Whoa! And Kelly's like, she says mean things too. She does. Well, you both do. I mean, what I'm saying is, you both say very mean things to each other. And Vicky's like, I've never gone publicly hurt her. I'm like, do you remember like 10 minutes ago on this reunion when you said she did coke? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
public. You did that in public.
Yeah, Vicky. She's like, that was a rumor, so it's not me. It was whoever started the rumor, okay?
Yeah.
And then Andy's like, okay, but didn't you come on my show and say that Kelly's just gold digging? And Vicky's like, no, I said that she was looking for a billionaire. And Kelly's like, yeah, you said I was ditching a millionaire for a billionaire off! Which, I mean, I don't think that's as bad as cocaine. I mean, look, that's just called ambition.
Yeah.
It's America.
Why is that a bad thing? Okay. Yeah. So now we move on to a Shannon segment. You know, we're going to like, whoa, Shannon, you've gone on a journey this entire season. You went from 20,000 square feet to 4,000 square feet, and you didn't get any pieces of plastic in your ass during the process.
He's like, you went from a extremely wealthy depressed person always screaming at her husband to a less wealthy person screaming at everybody else. Yeah. Congratulations.
So we see a whole like clip package of that showing her journey, and Andy's like, so is the divorce final? No. No? Shannon does like that purse, like,
nope.
40 to 50 negative thoughts about this divorce process right now.
The best part of watching her clip was first when he introduced the clip, she got mad at his description of her. Yeah. Shannon's not even able to hide how mad she is right now, Dan.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. And he kind of deserves it. And he really deserves it later on in this clip. But she's hating him right now.
Yes.
And then he calls her Brett Michaels. She's trying to sell diet food. Don't bring up diabetes.
Yeah.
And now he's bringing up her divorce, you know. She's like, well, no. Well,
no.
We went to an accountant.
No.
And Emily's like, hey, everyone, it's me, Emily. Just putting my opinion out there. I'm assuming that that's a forensic accountant. Is that true, Mrs. Bedour?
Yes. He didn't want to go to court.
Glad we clarified that, Emily.
Well, glad Emily's here, guys.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, he didn't want to go to court, and he didn't have an attorney, so...
Okay. Now we are sweeping up the mess that David has made. And feels great.
Yeah.
Feels great.
I mean,
I mean, are we really surprised that the man who buy two bottles of wine for an entire dinner party would not even hire a lawyer for his own divorce? So happy. I'm a happy person. Happy with my life choices.
It's like, well, it would help if he had a lawyer because he doesn't know California law. I'm sure it made it take longer. And Andy's like, and let's talk about his new girlfriend. She's like, oh, yeah, Andy, they moved in together. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't see her on the streets.
I don't know. I tend to have a blind spot for whores. So I just haven't seen her around, I guess.
I was teaching Sophie how to drive, and she hit something, but I don't know what it is. Whores are invisible to me, Andy, so is she dead? I don't know.
I could have sworn I kept on seeing her every few feet on the sidewalk, and turns out it was just a garbage pail. It's like, oh, it's different. It's not... That trash is actually real trash. It's not David's new girl who can cook food, apparently.
And bowl.
That was the latest thing. They're like, oh my god, he's bowling with the kids!
David, I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David.
So, he's like, so, have you heard a rumor that she's pregnant? She goes, well,
I've heard Amy Grant music, but that does not mean I subscribe to her Sirius channel, Andy.
I know nothing about these babies, and I tell you, it does bother me quite a bit that T-Boz has been pushing a David Bedore baby agenda. Baby, 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 I got so much love for you. That's rude. That's rude, T-Boz. Don't sing that song.
Baby, baby, you put my heart in motion and then run over a whore in the street. Not that I saw that I did that, Andy.
I'll tell you what I put in motion. I put my legs in motion because I'm working out to lose weight. Ha! I'm on the Amy Grant workout.
So then she tells this kind of convoluted story that she's kind of upset because they live in a gated community, and she just asked if the lady cooked, and she said that the kids said that she did, and but she they said tacos. That Shannon's food was better. Just to make her feel better. And she's like,
but I wasn't asking for that. It wasn't about whose food is better. Is there cream cheese in her salmon, I asked? Or what are her garden burgers made out of? God damn it! And then it comes back to me that I'm asking about dinner. Well, I'm sorry, but I want to know what's going on with my kids.
It's important to me to know exactly how much cream cheese is included in those tacos, okay? And to paraphrase the great Amy Grant of the Amy Grant diet, I always tell my daughters, every taco, there's your name, loud and clear. That queso's the same every time. The quality's the same. That's what I'm saying here.
I'll tell you, this depression isn't going to stop me from following up my Amy Grant diet with my Huey Lewis and the Pooh's tea. Drink a little tea, poop out the cream cheese. And that's just how I'm going to live from now on, Andy. I am woman, hear me roar!
The heart of Shannon Bedore is gonna beat you. Is that how that goes, David? I mean, Andy?
Then she's like,
well, you know, I'm supposed to give my children my space, and Tamara says don't push them. And make them feel pushed in the corner, Andy.
And he's like, why would you give her that advice? Andy's, by the way, the worst person.
Yeah.
Ever. He's like, where did that advice come from? And Tamara's like,
because when Sydney left me, I would call her so much, and I'd call her, and I'd call her, and I'd put her in therapy. And it turns out kids want space. So maybe if you give her space, she won't get a raise. And that's my new bumper sticker, Andy.
And I'm trying to follow that. I'm trying not to text. It's hard. I have to give them space. And I'm just trying to stay in my little square here. And according to the great Huey Lewis, it's hip to be square, so I'm okay with that.
So she's like, well,
you know, I'm just I am trying to date, Andy. I just wasn't ready, but if I meet the right person, great. But right now, it's fun to get excited about meeting people and to do different things. And look, killing those, I can go out and be like, hey, 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 the different people, Andy.
And he's like, well, you know, you might have had a problem meeting people, but David sure didn't while you were together.
What a... kind of dickish thing is that to say? Hasn't she cried enough? The woman is wearing ruffles on her sleeve. Okay, not ruffles. What are those dangly things?
Yeah,
flappers wear them.
Tassels.
Tassels. Yeah, she's wearing tassels on her sleeves. Leave her alone.
Yeah,
that just shows that when you date me, there are strings attached.
Literally.
I am S.A. Strings attached.
Fringe. Okay, yes, fringe. Tassels. Definitely not tassels.
She's a curtain. Right? She's just curtains.
I'm drapes. The curtains do match the carpet because I'm actually wearing curtains and a carpet. When it comes to David Bedore, I have one thing to say. Don't need money. Don't need fame. Don't need no credit card to ride the Shannon train. Hashtag Huey.
It's hip to P square. Hey!
So,
are you saying something about my hips?
So Andy's like, so what about birth control? Your daughter's all sleeping around now. She's like, oh no, Andy.
Can they just name that pill instead of calling it the having sex when you're a teenager pill? Can they please call it the I don't want my period all the time pill? Because that's the only reason she wanted it. Okay, yes. Andy.
It's as simple as that. I mean, how about, could they call it the menstrual cramp reliever pill? The I am hoping I don't have a baby today pill because of what happened last night. Oh, no. Take that back. Rolling that back.
So, Shannon, Parchy from Tuscaloma wants to know, why are you always talking about your fat? Don't you worry that you're going to transfer your body issues over to your children? Like, that's the issues you're worrying about her transferring over to the children?
Yeah.
Okay?
Among the
like,
other
what side. Are you going to just tell people with issues not to have children? There won't be any children.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, no, I talk with my daughters about it all the time. I say, I love the way I look, but I just want to be skinnier because I'll only find love if I'm skinnier. No issues, right? I'm happy. We're all happy. Excited for the next chapter of our lives. Look how happy I am. Look, I'm shaking my fringe. Look, there's nothing about Fringe that could possibly make me sad, except that I did love that TV show called Fringe, and I do think it was canceled before its time. And oh God. 30 or 40 negative thoughts. They just arrived.
Tell them it's hip to be square and happy to be round, Andy.
Yes, it's true. I'm so happy to be stuck with you. And by you, I mean body images. Image issues.
So Gina is like,
yeah, well, you know, it's hard to see the emphasis you put on your weight in relation to self-worth.
Oh, God.
Hey. And she's like, well, if I can do something that'll make me feel better about myself, like working out, then I will. And it was an eye-opener to watch that complaining, which is why I wore burnt feather, fringe, tassels, and pom-poms on my sleeves. I feel great!
You know what you need, Shannon? To make yourself feel better about yourself, you need to go to Marshall's and say, get a sign that just says, you're pretty, okay? That's all you need. And maybe one that says gather, too, just in case. But don't apply that to food, okay?
She leaves a little cream cheese wherever she goes. So Andy's like, so Vicky called you fat in a Mexican t-shirt shop. What do you think of that? She said she's a medium and you're an XL. She's like, whoa,
God. Well, considering the other things that they said, Andy, that's really low on the totem pole. You want to talk about it for another half an hour? Because I will.
I'm very easygoing. I'm being less reactive, and it didn't bother me at all that Vicky made a totally tasteless joke about my tummy requiring an XL shirt.
It was a joke, Andy. Okay, it was a joke. I just wanted a sleeping shirt that we're not going to wear those out. Okay, we're not going to wear a sleep. I wanted her to get a sleeping shirt, and then she could wear the sleeping shirt that's huge because she's huge, and then I could wear a sleeping shirt that's medium because I'm medium. That's all I was trying to do.
That's hilarious. I'm not at all sad. This is a hilarious joke. I'm going to get on a plane and go to Just for Laughs Northwest to see more jokes about my tummy. For that reason, it's so funny. Not sad.
God, that is sad news right there.
Yeah. And like, well, congrats. And then he does that scrunch facing where he's looking at her like she's just gum on the bottom of a shoe. He's like, wow, congrats. What a journey. When you joined the show to now, I mean, see, the first season they were trying to get you thrown in a mental hospital. And this season they're trying to get you in a mental hospital. So, wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm excited for the future. And cream cheese and salmon, can I take a break?
I'm just gonna double check about those birth control pills that they really are just for menstrual cramps. I'll be right back.
I'm going to go snort a steady pill.
I'm just going to make sure I have the full Huey Lewis and the News Greatest Hits album on my iPad for calming presences later. Thank you.
Ooh. Well, these ladies are always one tequila shot away from things going sideways. So then we see them just getting drunk at parties and going golfing and Vicky almost losing her finger, which was my so personal funny. Favorite moment.
I feel like that's like a really underappreciated moment. Like watching it again, I was like, that was so brilliant.
That is another... Shannon!
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't hear the heart of rock and roll. Am I alive?
And then Andy, when they show that clip, he's like, Vicky, was there a moment on the ropes course you thought you'd lose your finger? Because it was wildly entertaining to watch.
She's like, yeah, I thought I lost it. That's why I looked. I had to look to make sure it's there. I'm still not even sure it's there. Is that a finger? I don't know.
And then they talk about Mexico. And what was the most embarrassing moments in Mexico? And Shannon's like,
well, the producer said that the taco stand was fun. And I did not remember a taco stand. So thanks for showing it, guys. I thought a chihuahua was Archie.
I thought the guy working the tacos was David, and I said, Taco Man, we should maybe get back together. Do you want to? No? No? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. David, Taco.
He's like, so what's the rule? That we can only show stuff you don't – we can only show stuff that you actually remember? So what does David Bedore think about that trip where you were drunk? What did David Bedore think while he was curled on the couch with his new soon-to-be wife who's possibly pregnant with a new little baby Shannon who's never going to know your name? How does that feel,
Shannon? What do we think David was thinking while he watched this as he was fucking a new girl?
So did David smile? Because I've seen Instagram and it's the first time he's ever smiled on camera as far as I know. Anybody? Anybody? He's coming for Shannon in this.
He really is. She's
he didn't particularly enjoy it, and it's hard when you are going through a custody battle and you're trying to use it. And Emily's like,
yeah, well, it's her hearsay anyway. I can't be admissible.
Yeah, Tamara says that. She's like, been there, done that. That's not admissible. I'm like, you're like, your kids don't talk to you. Like, how about you don't give advice right now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's not try and do things the way that Tamara did them.
Yeah, Tamara's advice is not admissible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your advice is not admissible on this reunion, ma'am.
She's like the opposite of the Miranda rights. Like, everything you say and do will really not be used against you because no one's taking it seriously.
I said overruled.
You have the right to remain talkative.
Yeah, you have the right to never remain silent.
Yeah.
So Emily's like, well, her behavior on a girls' trip isn't about how she is with her children. Some people go have a great time with their girlfriends and has nothing to do with being in their home and keeping their husband awake and trying to ruin his life and his sleep, which she still needs an apology for. But whatever, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
As the great Huey Lewis sings, I need a new drug, something to get me high.
I don't do drugs. Why are you saying that, Shannon?
Hey, Huey Lewis, you're a dork.
You're a dork, Huey Lewis. So Andy is like, well, guess what? Sometimes hearsay can become hearsay. Telephone anyone. Let's look at Emily and Shane. And so we got the Emily and Shane abuse montage. And then, like, that whole thing where it went from, like, Shannon saying, reminded, what Emily was doing reminded her of her and David. And then it became like, oh, Shane's beating Emily. So we see that whole montage. And we come back. And then I got the Bravo glitch. You know, that happens every episode. So I lost a minute of my life. My Bravo life. And so you'll have to fill me in on what happened.
Oh, no. This was a really good part because they edited together the game of telephone that they all played.
Right. I got to see the game of telephone. I just didn't... They started talking about it afterwards. And then, I missed what... I basically... Where I came back in was Gina saying, well, she shouldn't have been talking about her marriage and making a correlation.
Yeah. So basically, just so you guys know, if you didn't watch, Tamara started it, which, of course, we said in the beginning because we, you know, it's Tamara. So Tamara starts it by being like, oh, that reminds me of something my husband would do, which she's always talking about how abusive that relationship was, right?
Right.
Then they showed Shannon saying, well, it reminds me of having to be home and tell my husband that reminds me of things in my marriage. And then Gina goes and tells Emily. And then Emily's like, so they said that he's like basically abusive, which nobody ever said that word. So Andy's like, so you were the one who said that word, basically.
Although actually, when they showed that video clip, Gina said, this is what Shannon said. And then it was Kelly was at Emily's office, and Kelly was the one where Emily said, so they basically think it's abusive. And Kelly's like, yeah. So it was actually with Kelly.
Yeah, but Gina's the one who kept saying the word. And then Kelly, because Gina said it with, Emily said it with Gina first. And then she talked to Kelly about it, Kelly's like, yeah, because that is what it sounds like they're saying. They're both saying their husbands were abusive pricks. So I don't really get how it wasn't, but they never use that word. And then so it all comes back. Oh, my God. So I took so many notes on this. So where did you come back in? What was she saying?
When I came back in, it was Gina saying, like, well, she shouldn't have been talking about her marriage and making a correlation.
Yes. Okay, so then Shannon was like, well, it was a long conversation. And all I said was it triggered memories of the type of marriage I had. I was triggered. And that's it. That's it. And then Shannon's like, the truth is I took it from you. And then we played golf, and then you attacked me. You said I needed boundaries. And Emily's like, oh, so that's attacking you? You said I attacked you. And Kelly goes, you did attack her. You said she needs boundaries. And Tamara goes, I think it was an attack. But so she shouldn't have been talking about a marriage and making correlations between her shitty husband and everyone else's shitty husband. And Shannon's like, well, what about Tamara? And Tamara's like, okay, good point. Valid point. Well, Valid point. Good point.
Yeah, well, Gina goes, you shouldn't be doing it either. And then Shannon was like, well, maybe we should all zip our mouths shut. And Gina's like, don't tell me to zip my mouth shut. You zip your mouth shut. My mouth doesn't zip shut. I'm not like one of those fancy bags from Ziploc. I have a regular press and seal. I don't have the zipper attachment, okay?
And she's like, yeah, you're the one who makes comparisons to everyone's husbands. And Kelly goes, what's wrong with comparisons? What's wrong with that? What, are you going to get mad at Heinz ketchup for going up against regular ketchup in the grocery store? So
how else are you going to know how well your paper towel wipes up spills? I need to know that one is tough and the other one just turns into shreds and falls apart.
And then Gina's like, I don't know why you people don't just own it. And Shannon's like, I'm owning it! I am owning it!
Oh,
Surprised Andy wasn't like, well, actually, last time we checked, you're actually only renting because your life has now fallen into failure.
And then after Shannon screams, I'm owning it, she goes, you know, I've been working on being less reactive. And Andy goes, how's that working out for you? And she just gives him another look like, I will fucking kill you, Andy Cohen.
Yes. Well, I also liked right before that that Emily goes, if you feel like I attacked you, I apologize. But I didn't think it was an attack. I thought it was a conversation.
No, I said,
I'm not done talking.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Then that's when Kelly's like, no, what happened was She wasn't attacking you. She was just schooling you. She was schooling you.
Then Shannon, I like that Shannon still, she's so mad, but she can still pat herself on the back. She's like,
well, if I was being really reactive, I would have said, what am I famous for? What is that line? I am, one of the lines I'm famous for is, I'm done. I'm done. So if I was really, really reactive, I would have said, I'm done.
And they all at the same time go, you did say that. You ran into the bathroom.
No, I walked away. I walked away from the situation because I'm being less reactive. And the only way you can be less reactive is to react by walking away. And saying, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to cry in the bathroom because I'm done.
Yeah, and you also did it in Jamaica. It's like, you know what, Gina? Why don't you get out of my head and focus on your own?
She's like, well, you were lying. You're a liar. You're a lying pants liar face. Okay? Liar, liar. Starring Jim Carrey.
God, strike me down. Don't you dare tell me I'm not making improvement. I am improving. Look at me. Look at me not reacting. I'm not being reactive right now as I yell at you and invoke God.
And then she, like, pinches Vicky. And Vicky's like, yeah, you're mean. You're mean. You're being mean right now. You are big mean. You're a big girl. Okay? You're a big girl.
Yeah, Vicky definitely was like my laptop waking up after I pressed the key on it. It's like, here are all the alerts from the last 5 minutes.
I've got all the paperwork here for your meat insurance filed. Okay, so it's me to you, you get paid. That's how it is.
Five text messages.
Oh, wait, hold on.
There's a bed.
Hold on, something's going off. There's no movement in Don's house. Hold on. Never mind. He just moved the camera. Okay, Don's still alive. Not getting paid. All right, get back to it. What were we talking about? You're being... Like,
yeah, she's basically like, in Zelda, there's like these big things called guardians, and when you get close to them, they come to life, and this music starts playing, and goes... And you have to like hide behind something, and it shoots a laser beam at you. That's basically what Vicky is like. I'm just going to sit here dormant. I'm just going to sit here and... Oh my god, my laser eye.
Gina's like,
I'm not mean. It's just ridiculous to sit here and say you didn't storm off. And Kelly goes, yeah, she said she did. Shannon storms.
Why don't you look at me in the eye instead of making eye rolls, okay?
Honestly, it's hard to look at you in the eye right now, okay? It's hard to look at you. It's hard to look at you at all right now, okay?
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant, why are you not making cinnamon rolls instead of eye rolls? Because I'm quite hungry right now.
Oh god. So Andy's like, Tamara, do you think that Shannon is still reactive? And Tamara's like, I guess not. She's like, okay, she's not. And Shannon's like, well, thank you very much. That's very convincing. Tamara. Yeah.
Well, right, because she goes, she's like, because Tamara's like, the conversation at the table was heated. And Shannon goes, I never yelled! I never said you're dead! Mm-hmm. And then Tamara's like, you're very reactive. That's your personality. And Shannon goes, I have a big, big personality. Okay? I've got a personality so big you could stuff some cream cheese in it, okay? There's room for everything.
Tamara's like, you're the one who ripped off her mic a couple of times. Remember when I was chasing you and not giving you a breath when you asked for a breath? That was so funny.
I still have things to say.
Forensic accounting. Okay, anybody? Anybody need advice?
Yeah, I just want to wrap this up right here. I think I was just like really upset with Tamara because she said she just wanted to go home. I was upset with Tamara because I said, you know, like, I just wanted to go home. I've been working all day. And, like, is there something wrong about that? And they're like, no. You said that, like, Shane needed you to come home. And they all just started coming down on her, everything. And then Tamara's like, but you didn't go home, did you? You went out with your friends to Bass Lake, didn't you? Didn't you?
This was definitely a Bass Lake moment. Yeah. And Emily looked like, like, she totally got caught. And she's like, no, what I was going to do was I was supposed to go meet Shane's ex to talk about the kids. So, but then I realized that I had the wrong night, so I just went straight home. She's
like, oh, you went straight home, did you? She's
like, yeah, I went straight home after that. She's like, uh-huh. And then she squints her eyes and, like, purses her lips.
She's like, don't smirk.
She's like, I'll smirk at you if I want to, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. Like, if Emily was supposed to, like, she basically is saying, Essentially, I had to go talk about custody, and I didn't want to put that on TV, so I came up with some bullshit excuse, and now you guys spun that excuse into such a crazy situation that now I'm forced out it anyway.
Well, I think that she's just lying. I think Shane did want her to get home, and she went home, but it seems fishy. She's like, I had to leave because I was texting about going to this thing to meet this person, but then I had the wrong night. So it's weird.
Yeah, that's the part that's weird about it. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's none of Tamara's damn business anyway. You know, yeah. Who cares where she went?
Yeah.
So exactly. Tamara's like, well, here you are. Because Andy's like, well, you do seem to contradict yourself as far as your elf on the shelf goes. And Emma's like,
well, I mean, look, all he said that night when he was supposedly like an abusive asshole was, you know, look, I wish he'd come down and said, look, the kids are trying to sleep and been calmer. And Tamara's like, you had to make excuses for him. Yeah. Kelly's like, why didn't he just apologize? Even I apologize to stupid head over there, dork.
Dork. He's a dork. And I apologize to that dork. The stupid band camp dork.
And yeah, he should have apologized to me, but we're cool now. I mean, he's just got walls.
Yeah, he's got walls up. That's all. And Tamara's like, yeah, but it's like, and everyone's like, walls? I don't see any walls. And they're like, no, it's walls. It's like hard to get to know him because he puts up walls. And she's like, well, it's hard to get in when he's putting everyone down. I'm like, shut up, Tamara. This is like your entire MO, okay? Like, please don't, like, play the victim to, like, his mockery.
Yes.
She's like, wow, that's fire. It's like fire that's coming at you.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, she meets as far as letting people in. Yeah. And then Andy's like, can we just move on? Everything Andy brings up, he's like, can we please just move on? We're done with this, you guys. It's like he's mad at his own questions.
I just want to say, in conclusion, I didn't attack Shannon. If she felt that way, I apologize. And Gina's like, she didn't attack her. She didn't attack her. And then Kelly's like, she didn't attack her at all. She schooled her. It was schooling. It's a school. School.
So next up, she's a lawyer by day and a party planner by night. She married her boss, who's a Persian Mormon virgin, without ever going on a date with him. Okay, but I mean, she is the OC housewife with the longest running marriage, and it's just like a punch to the stomach of everybody there.
Everyone just sneering. So we see a whole segment about Emily, the life of Emily, etc. And so we start off talking about her mom, and Andy does that like faux compassion where he tilts the insides of his eyebrows up, like, ooh, and he goes, "So, how much did Carolyn's visit mean to you?" She's like, well, I haven't spoken to my mom for a year. Well, it was sad. I mean, like, there was nothing funny about it. Her mom was depressed for a year, and Emily hadn't spoken to her for, like, the woman would not return calls or whatever, and Emily was afraid that she was going to get a call that her mom was dead. So it meant a lot, etc. And then Andy was like, so Shane's parents are not Mormon, right? But he is. Can you explain that? She's like, oh, yeah, well, the neighbors that he grew up with were Mormon, and he just, like, really connected with them, so he became Mormon, too. I'm like, are we just gonna, like, just move forward from that? There's a story there.
Yeah, that kind of makes me crazy with her, because she brings in all this stuff, but then they move past all the good stuff. They don't really confront her on anything, which is kind of odd. They say it's kind of weird, but basically, of course, guess what Andy cares about? He's like, so he doesn't fuck? I mean, would any of you get married to a guy who doesn't fuck you first? And they're like, no! Yeah. What if he has a little tiny Vienna sausage? Oh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yeah, don't you want to know if he has a PhD, which stands for pretty hard dick? A huge dick. Huge and hard.
Yeah, pretty huge dick. So then they talk about the baby box, which is so sad. Well, and Gina's like, yeah, it was nice to see Shane being compassionate. Like, didn't he pat you on the shoulder in that scene? Wow, it's like The Notebook.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't disagree with Gina. I mean, Shane just, like, sat there staring at Emily like she was, like, a fern, you know? I thought it was funny when Andy was like, so Shane proposed to you on G-Chat? And Vicky goes, what's G-Chat? What's that? Is that, like, God Chat? I should be on that.
I have VChat, The Office. Basically, like, it goes ding, and then Linda says, you're a stupid bitch, and a bird just hit your window. Get your son to go clean it up, because he did do anything to earn his position. And then I just laugh and laugh. Cut that, Linda.
At least I know what iMessage is, which, as we all know, stands for insurance messages, right? insurance messages.
So she's like, yeah, I mean, we bring it up in therapy. Like, I wish he would show affection. That would be good. And Tamara's like, it's actually sad. Like, he turns away from kisses. I was like, almost as sad as your husband trying to pretend he fucks you 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
I don't know if this is sadder or your bubble bath scene with Eddie. Okay, I'm not really sure, but they're both depressing, and I could use less of that from the show.
Yeah, or like ongoing promises to fuck like bunnies while you're eating Greek salads. Like, we don't need to see that.
And then Vicky, of course, jumps on Emily's side because of Steve. She's like, it's PDA. It's just PDA. Steve doesn't like it either.
Yeah.
I said, you want to touch me? He's like, God, no. It's PDA. It's just PDA. It's totally different in private. Totally, totally different. And Emily's like, oh, yeah. In private, he's totally different. He grabs my butt.
He then takes my butt that he's grabbed and moves me to the right so he can walk by me and get to wherever he's going. Totally, totally different.
One time he slapped me on the ass with a door. I mean, it was the door as I was walking out of a room, but you know, still.
Yeah, he has a whole mating dance that he does. It's sort of like he walks to the left, then I walk to the left, then he steps to the right, and then I step to the right. We go back and forth like that, and finally he's like, I'm just trying to get by, and I'm like, oh, okay, and it's like really hot.
Our song at our wedding was To the Left, so you know he loves me. I mean, he played Beyonce, so.
And then Andy's like, speaking about your butt, you got body shamed a lot. What was that like to have lots of people tell you you're fat? Which then made me feel terrible because last week I said that she looked like Mrs. Beakley from DuckTales but I wasn't really trying to body shame. I just sort of thought she has sort of like a ducky face, which I guess is body shaming. So now I feel terrible. So I'm sorry, Emily, because I actually think Emily is very beautiful.
Yeah, I do too. And I was surprised
Surprised, you know, surprised that I called her Mrs. Beakley?
No, I'm surprised that she got so much hate on the internet. It's weird. Yeah. I mean, we all watch these shows for women who aren't 20 years old and toothpicks. So I'm confused as to why that would happen. And she's like, well, I mean, it was women. They'd send me direct messages and call me a fat ass and I'm disgusting. And that's even weirder that they'd go into your DMs, you know?
People have never
had a problem being dicks on the comment section. You know what I mean?
I will say this, though. Our listeners are great. And I believe it was in our Facebook group, Watch What Crappens Live and Loving It, but it may have been in a different one where during the Jamaica episodes when they went up the waterfall, and Emily was in a one piece, someone posted, I remember this, like an image from that and said, can we do an Emily appreciation post? She is gorgeous. She has amazing curves and she's rocking that bathing suit. And then everyone chimed in and people were saying, you know, she's like a underappreciated beauty and Bravo. So like, I have to say, like, for as much body shaming that Emily received, I think it's pretty cool that our listeners actually were being very body positive towards her.
Yeah, and she's really not, like, I don't know. I don't get it. So anyway, Tamara, the next segment is Tamara and Eddie are moving. And she's like, well, you know, we moved into this new house and we finally got to meet Spence because his father wouldn't sign off to film, but now he's old enough. And it turns out that Spencer's been full-time with her for 4 years, which I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. That was surprising. He's just been lingering in the background, listening to Tamara and Eddie stand behind their bedroom door and make sex noises, but they're still, like, fully clothed and just, like, staring at each other while they do it.
Yeah. She's like, you wouldn't know that he's there because he's always wearing noise-canceling headphones.
He's there because we're so busy having sex. It's like the world just falls apart and away from us.
So Andy's like, so, you know, that's good since you're at a point of no return with Sydney and all. She's like, it's not a point of no return, Andy, okay? She's just a college with another state in another state. And I text her once a month and I say, hope all's well. And he's like, and does she text you back? And she's like, nope, never.
You know, Sydney's there with her friend. She's like, wait, check this out. And then she'll like start texting something to Tamara, but never send it. So Tamara spends like an hour watching the little dots being like, she's typing. It's going to happen this time.
She's like, send my mom my location and put the location map just a little further than returned, the return point. Okay, that would be great. She's like, no, it's not that. I just can't feel bad for Tamara. Sorry, there's no part of my heart that would warm
to Tamara.
Speaking of hearts, so Eddie, he went and saw one of the best cardiologists in the world. And he was like, whoa, what? That heart, wow. He must have had a heart condition his whole life. It's like, yeah, you think? That's what a heart condition is usually.
Like the worst condition that he's ever seen in any patient who's ever had a heart, Andy.
Yeah. They had to go into a part of the heart they never would have even considered going into at Eddie's age. It's the part of the heart called the Tamara part. So he went in there and they're like, whoa, let's fix this. And so hopefully he's on the up and up.
So she has moved out of her house because it's haunted or whatever. And so she's moved to Vicky's neighborhood. And Andy's like, is that within casserole distance to Vicky's house? She's like, no, I'm in the gates behind the gates. So.
Like, does that mean you're like in a... Are you like in a utility shed? I don't get that.
Yeah, she's in the mail center.
Are you like in that, like where like the power transformer is, where they have to put it in like separate gates?
She's in the pool house.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's in Kodo, and it's like, hey, Shannon, why don't you ever use Tamara's Cut Fitness trainers? Why don't you do that?
This is so shitty. You know, Tamara's such a fucking shitty friend. She really is. And Shannon's not perfect. You know, I'm not even going to go there. But Tamara really is a shitty person. Shannon doesn't live anywhere near Tamara's gym, okay? She lives a far way away. She's not going to go to her gym every day. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. And then why would you? Tamara's not exactly supportive.
And there are uneven floors. And be
like, wake up more then if you don't like it. Yeah, and then she could trip and hurt her ankle again.
Yeah. Also, the gym has a hideous mural. And uneven floors and shelves that are not stocked and probably like exposed wires.
Yeah. And Shannon's like, well, if I had time to drive down to her gym, I would. And we've had that discussion and I communicated that. And then you go on camera and say that I just don't trust you. Tamara, your gym is too far.
Yeah. And it's like in like an industrial park. Just nothing.
Yeah.
About
it's
it.
Like Tamara's just being a dick to be a dick to try and have something to talk about because she has nothing. Yeah. So Andy's like, well, then, Tamara, on social, you told Social Media that you celebrated your birthday without Shannon and Vicky. And Kelly said that Vicky didn't go because Kelly was there. Is that true? And she's like, well, I invited Becca, and I told her Kelly was going to be there. And she said, okay, she'd just stay home. And Kelly's like, I wouldn't fight you on her birthday. Are you kidding? I would never do something like that.
I would never.
Happy birthday to you. Dork!
Dork! You're a dork. Happy Dork Day to you. You are.
And Vicky's like, well, it was the right thing to do. I stayed home, and then I asked Steve if he wanted some old chicken cooked, and he said no. And then I put my butt in his face, and he refused to touch it. So that's what I did. Great night. Great night. It was romance.
And why wasn't Shannon there? And Tamara's like, well, Shannon wasn't speaking to me at the time. And Shannon's like, I wasn't invited. Common recurrence in my life. Between Tamara and David, I'm just like a piece of flotsam in the ocean. If only I could be as thin as flotsam.
Negative person!
She's like, you hold grudges. You hold grudges, Shannon. And she's like, oh, well, you and your mother had just been on camera talking about my support payments and my water bill. And I'm sorry, but any apartment I've ever lived in, I've never had to pay for water. So stupid, Shannon!
So sue me if I would think that a natural resource like water, which is commonly very hard to find in California, you would actually have to pay for.
I never say anything bad about you on camera, Tamara. And she's like, but I expected to come out then.
I'm assuming that she saw that and did call you out on it, and that's why you didn't invite her to the birthday. Isn't that what this segment is about? Like, make up your mind.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so basically, Tamara has been icing out Shannon because Shannon was selfish in New York. And it's like, what happened in New York? And we go to commercial break. And there's a commercial for Top Chef, and I just started laughing because it's like, oh, we're Top Chef, we're going to Kentucky, and you see like chefs like jumping over kitchen islands and cooking, and it's like all this like chop chop chop, fast, cooking, and then all of a sudden you just see Padma go, I'm underwhelmed. I'm so excited.
Did you see that Instagram post where it looks like Padma's about to eat a baby? Like, she's holding this little newborn baby.
It's like,
and then she's opening her mouth really wide. And I was like, well, that explains why she always looks 30.
Well, she also posted like a photo of like, it looked like a thali, like, you know, like a plate with like various little Indian foods on it. And there was like a baby under like a flap of, like, under like literally like a piece of naan. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it's a weird, Badma's going through a really odd I eat babies phase. So.
Well, somebody's got to do it. If Gail can't be around.
Those babies aren't going to eat themselves, are they, Gail?
Did you mean to give me a baby snack?
Oh, God. So then this makeup story. So yeah, they go to New York because Tamara and Shannon are going to do Watch What Happens Live. So Tamara brings her makeup person to do her makeup, obviously. And she's like,
we made a plan for the makeup lady because her mom has cancer. So we stayed in this more expensive place because Shannon wanted to stay there.
And who stays in the plaza? Who does that?
Yeah, it's so expensive. It's so expensive, Andy. The plaza. I mean, the plaza.
How about you stay at the Lullaby Broadway, okay?
So then basically they got in a fight because Tamara said that Shannon wanted to use her makeup person, and then she was taking forever and making everybody late. Well, and then this is starting to make Shannon look bad, so she goes,
now Tamara, this is where I don't want to go tit for tat with you, okay?
She's like,
but then you kept saying, do that, then you said, go to your room,
and Melissa had no time. Melissa had no time to get ready, and we were already late, and like, it was turning out a disaster because you kept on making all these demands. I'm like, I think the Olive Garden will be patient for you. Don't you worry.
Well, mission accomplished, Tamara. You're making me look like the worst person alive. She's like, that is why I can't say anything. You always say I'm trying to make you look bad.
Yeah. You literally are all the time.
Yeah. Well, I also liked how when, because I can actually kind of see that Shannon would be like, oh, could you just do my eyes real quickly, Melissa? I know you have to get ready, just real quickly. Oh, you know what? Actually, that's not quite exactly the way I like them. Do you mind just going over that again? And then, so when Tamara says that Shannon, like, held up dinner because of her eye makeup or whatever, Shannon's like, I apologized right after. I said, Melissa, I'm so sorry. I did not realize that you were actually coming to dinner with us. It's just surprising when one of the workers comes out with some of the stars.
Yeah. They don't call it behind the camera for nothing, Tamara. Okay?
So this was a weird fight, and I believe everything Tamara says, actually, that Shannon went to New York was a total pain in the ass. It's just like, it's the way she tells it, you know? It's like, you have to tell everybody about it, then you have to add that this girl's mom has cancer. Like, that has anything to do with the fucking story.
Well, but
it's also, like, Shannon was beating this woman whose mother was suffering from cancer. It's like, come on.
I feel like everything she says about Shannon is actually pretty true, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's like stuff that she omitted from her side of the story. Like, she probably didn't tell Shannon that there was a reservation. She probably, you know, didn't say, you know, X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm sure that like she set Shannon up for a trap.
Yes, or offer your makeup person to Shannon and then complain the whole time they're getting their makeup done.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So
Andy's like, so you guys haven't been good since the summer, right? This is really a fun one. Have I said that to anybody yet? Yeah. This has been fun. And Shannon's like, well, I thought we were good in Jamaica, but it's been growing and growing and growing and growing. And then Gina jumps in. She's like,
well, if there's an expectation and, you know, I think there's an expectation. She doesn't want you to share things off the show. But then, you know, you wanted to share her life. And Tamara's like, oh, yeah. Like, you said you weren't dating this whole time. Like, you're such a big victim. And David's out there dating. But you were dating someone the whole time.
I'm like, oh, my God. You're such a thrower-underer.
And then Gina becomes the victim in all this because she's like, yeah, that really upset me because, like, there was one night when, like, the matchmaker was there and, like, I wanted to be with my kids that night. But instead, we were with the matchmaker and then we called up and we got, like, a date for you. And then, like, I was, like, really genuinely excited for you because I was like, whoa, Shannon's going on a date. But then you were dating a guy the whole time and, like, everything we did for nothing. And I could have been with my kids instead. I'm like, you know what? Just settle down, please.
Yeah, this you could be with your kids right now.
Yeah, okay. like we will go to Steinmart and find you a little sign that says kids, okay, just to keep you happy.
And no one thinks you actually called that matchmaker on your own and invited her. I mean, come on. It's like such a housewives trope.
And Tamara's
didn't
like,
Tamara do that anyway?
What?
bring the matchmaker.
Yeah, Tamara.
And also, that was a shooting day. So matchmaker or no, you're still going to go to that strip mall restaurant and shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, it's called having a job.
So Tamara, the biggest victim of all, is like, you play victim all the time. You said David's out dating 3 months after the divorce, and it's hard, and it's all hard. But then you were too. You were dating too. And Shannon just goes, does her classic defense. Wow. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Oh, wow.
Well, when I say wow, our friendship is okay. Well,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I thought I could lean on you, and you turned out to be a hoe. That I leaned on, stepped on, and it hit me in the face, Sarah! Yes. I'm sorry, it was horrible and exhausting.
I appear to have leaned on a non-load-bearing wall and put my hand right through the drywall, and now it's up to my armpit, and it's awkward.
But it was really hard for me. I had to go to heart surgeries. I had kids here, kids there. It's like, well, geez, I'm sorry, but... You know, every other heart procedure he's had, I've checked on him and I've called him over and over. And you want me to show you the text? And she goes, oh, yeah, you did that after I brought it up. Yeah, Tamara.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You brought it up, you cried, and she tried to get better. And now you're pretending like she never did.
Yeah.
You're such an asshole.
Is it?
And she's like, and then in the blog, you said that someone said, well, is she getting better about it? And you said no. And she goes, yeah, because I was talking about at that time.
Your two favorite words are me and I, poor, poor, victim. Sometimes it gets wearing on me. I was like, that's not a way to use wearing, but okay. So, wearing is not an adjective. But, anyway. So, yeah, so Eddie...
Camera English. Aww.
Yeah, so then also, Eddie apparently... Andy was like, it was one of the reasons why you didn't check up on Eddie, because Eddie's still friends with David, and on some level that bothered you. And she's like, no, I was just being very self-absorbed. And then she's like, well, I mean, Eddie did invite David to the gym once, and I texted Tamara to politely voice my displeasure. And Tamara's like, yeah, I had text upon text. No, all I said was, Tamara, how could you do this to me? I thought we were best friends. I was leaning on you, which I guess is the biggest offense in the world, and I can't believe you invited David to your shitty gym. And while I take some pleasure in knowing that David will have a horrible workout on your warped floors and spend lots of money just getting to your gym in Timbuktu, I still think that on principle, it's terrible that... You invited David, your best friend, to your shitty, shitty concrete gym.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I have pages and pages of text about what a horrible person I am, bitch.
And Shannon's like, I don't even talk like that. I would never pronounce bitch like that.
And she's like, well, I read that text to Eddie, and he said, why do you even take that shit from her?
I'm like, oh, God. Well, at least she's, like, open about just turning everybody against Shannon. She's really low, you know?
Yeah.
And this season should be about just talking about what an asshole Shannon is. Because she has had kind of an asshole of a season. And Tamara's just such a monster that you can't even focus on that problem.
No, you can't. You can't. But that was the end of part two. And so then we have one more installment coming up, I guess this... I'm assuming it's going to be on Sunday again, Sunday or Monday. And then that's it. That's it for Orange County for the season.
God, Ben, can you believe that?
Can you believe that? So tomorrow we are back with Below Deck. So excited about that. Don't forget to go get your tickets for our Irvine show. Don't forget to get your tickets for Just for Laughs. And then gird your loins for Dallas on Thursday. And by Dallas, I mean both Real Housewives of and also our show that we're adding. So we have that.
Yes, we're excited to see you guys, everybody. Go out there and get them tickets. We will talk to you. Well, let's see. Recording, Founder Pop Rules, Lasha Nash. So tomorrow, Below Deck. And then we'll figure everything out later and see you later in the week. Okay, just everybody?
Just subscribe and let the episodes just come to you and you'll see what they are.
Oh, guys, we love ya.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
Hello, I'm Gary Lineker, and I want to tell you about a new podcast that you might just be interested in. It's called Lineker and Baker Behind Closed Doors. I'll be talking all things football with Danny Baker, and we'll be having lots of fun in the process. We're excited to be part of Bose Recommends, and I hope you enjoy it. You can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favourite podcast app.
Enjoy your new favourite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus on.